Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day today. A lot of stuff going on, as always, and please, again, continue to pray for everybody out in the Midwest, and I don't use that lightly. I mean, seriously, we need to be praying for everybody out in the Midwest right now. You guys understand how effective prayer is if you've ever listened to any of Dad's shows before in the past discussing that. But the Mississippi and Arkansas River now, they've released and essentially are set to rise to break record levels as the Midwest reels from more catastrophic flooding. They're even saying that anywhere from 5 to 7 inches of rain forecast to fall over last night and into today in Arkansas, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa is getting worse. They said that the Arkansas River is expected to break the record high of 42.5 feet today, and the Mississippi River is expected to break the 44-foot record high, which is the second highest level in recorded history the Mississippi River has ever been at. So this is coming at an unprecedented time with a massive, massive, massive explosion of water, essentially, out of nowhere in the Midwest that has made it almost impossible to grow crops. I keep talking about this, and the reason why I keep bringing it up isn't because I forget that I talk about it. You guys hear it every single day. But you need to understand what is going on. That is one of the reasons why we're having such a unbelievably heat, full-blown drought, full-blown heat wave in the South right now in Florida, Georgia, North Carolina. I mean, it is hot down here right now. And the funny thing is, the humidity is not even that high either. There's no water. So be aware of that right now. And again, be praying for those families out there because that water, it looks like it is not slowing down with the rain. They have some unbelievably aggressive high pressure systems parked over the Midwest right now with their weather warfare, and they're doing everything they can to essentially break the back of the Mideast and reduce the food supply. At least that's my opinion, Dad.
You know, Austin, we've talked about the weather warfare for years, for decades, and now we're seeing it in full-blown action. We've got, like we mentioned yesterday, Iran basically flooded out. And, you know, when you own the weather, it's called the force multiplier in the military.
Yep.
In other words, when you let's say, for instance, you've got 1,000 troops or 10,000 troops on a line, and they're infantry, and they're out in the weather, and all of a sudden you get a deluge of water, and here comes a flood, those guys have to seek cover. They have to seek refuge. They're going to get swept away in a doggone river or torrent of water. I mean, it's a force multiplier. And when you already have sanctions on a country like we have with Iran, and you have all these boycotts on Iran, and now you don't let them even produce their own food to try to stay alive, it's the way of crippling a country. And again, this is exactly what's happening to us in the Midwest. I mean, we are so hot here in North Carolina and so dry. Everything is parched. Down in Florida, Austin's saying the same thing is going on. Brad called me up yesterday or texted me and told me it's going to be 99 degrees there today. I mean, that's nuts. And that never happens at the end of May, 1st of June. You may get a few days like that in August, 1st of September, but never in May, June. So it's a major, major problem that they're doing, and they're doing it to us on purpose. And G. Edward Griffin, he did a whole show on this about how the chemtrails are going to be used as a food restriction protocol to reduce the food. And like Austin talked about yesterday, if you guys missed yesterday's show, it's really, really, really important that you listen to yesterday's show because it goes into detail on what's going on as far as the major objectives that they have going on right now as far as crippling the United States. By the way, in L.A. now, this is crazy. They're having literally more than 50 cases of typhus have been reported so far in L.A. The rats, the piles of garbage, the homeless on the street. I mean, it's literally Skid Row all the way. I mean, typhus is a disease born of filth. It's mostly commonly spread by contact with the feces of fleas. I mean, how nasty is that? It's most often reported in the third world or places like POW camps or in the Nazi concentration camps. Last year, Orange County, Los Angeles, Orange County reported a record 124 confirmed cases of typhus, enough to be classified as a full-blown outbreak. So far in 2019, 50 cases have been reported. Why? Fleas are attracted to rats, and rats are attracted to huge piles of food waste and infused garbage, like the ones that currently litter vast portions of downtown Los Angeles. The overburdened sanitation department does the best it can, but it simply doesn't have the manpower. Why? Why doesn't it have the manpower? because they're giving all of the money they have from their city budgets, a large percentage of it, to illegal refugees coming into Los Angeles, which is a sanctuary city. This is a major problem right now, and it says the spokesperson for the city's Department of Works reports that the current backlog for trash pickups around the city's homeless camps stands at approximately 8,400 trash pickup backlog, with an average of 6 calls per site, and they simply don't have the manpower because they've wasted all of their energy, all of their time, and all of their money bringing in more and more people. You know, Austin, they need to really think about this. And we see it just absolutely just in just Technicolor in Central Florida on the I-4 corridor between Orlando and Tampa. You know, when you bring in millions of people and hundreds of thousands or millions out of Puerto Rico and other countries and other states coming into Florida, I mean, when I was a kid, the population there was like 6 million. Now it's like, you know, 30 million. And you have all of the people going to school, all of the people using the bridges and the roads and the infrastructure and the garbage and everything else. You simply can't keep up. And what a lot of municipalities do, and Auburndale is really bad about this, our little town that we live in, they like to basically give out more and more and more housing permits to put more and more people in the city limits to create larger and larger tax revenues. What they don't understand is somehow this concept is eluding a lot of people in Central Florida. You may have more tax revenue coming in, but it doesn't increase the width of the highways. It doesn't increase the sanitation facilities. It doesn't increase all of the stuff. The main reason they allow all of these different people to come into Central Florida now and to build houses here is because of legacy costs. Because the cities and the counties have these incredibly lucrative pension programs. If you worked there for 10 years, you're vested. You get a pension the rest of your life. And all these people have come out and worked as retirement jobs, these pension plans, and worked their full-time jobs. And now they have these horribly high pension costs. And so what happens is this. It gradually just self-terminates because you don't have enough money coming in to maintain the infrastructure because you're putting all of the money into pension and retirement for the former employees. Guys, you know, as the owner of a company and having been in business now for almost 4 decades, you know, I learned a long time ago, you got to put a little bit of the money aside every single year. Otherwise, you're not going to have any money coming in because I don't get a pension. And if you don't do that, what ends up happening is you find yourself at the age of 65, broken, dependent on an outside income source. And what's happening is these cities have got themselves into this job market fight in which they're trying to get better and better employees, and they're giving them all of these benefits, and they simply can't afford it. You see it in Los Angeles. You see it in San Francisco. You see it in Portland. You see it in Tampa. You see it in Orlando. You see it in the little town that I live in. And, guys, the problem with it is this. The baby boomers, which is my generation, a huge influx of population in the United States from 45 to 65, what ended up happening is we're all going into our retirement now. And now we're the ones that are wanting to draw the pensions and the money and the Social Security that we paid in over the past 40, 50 years. And quite frankly, the money's gone because they've already spent it on other things. And so that's why they're in a cash flow crunch. And now you couple that also with food shortages and infrastructure challenges. It's just a perfect, perfect storm to create a civil war or some type of complete cataclysmic event in the United States, which is what they're pushing for. Son, what do you think?
No, it is. And I mean, you can see how the agenda goes in the direction that they always want it to go. It's what we always talk about all the time with the mainstream media and the narrative. Perfect examples. You know, last couple, 2 or 3 months ago, we saw the entirely idiotic Jesse Smollett debacle with this homosexual agenda pushing actor come out and pay 2 Nigerian brothers to go buy rope and hats so he could stage a fake hate crime. Stage a fake hate crime, which, I mean, I don't even know what the statute is for that, but I know for a fact it's a felony. You can't go around staging hate crimes. It's basically either inciting violence or what other charge you want to come up with it. Well, if you guys already remember, the attorney or the judge, Kim Fox, came out and acquitted him of all charges. Everything got dropped. He never even came out and gave an apology. He still is claiming that he was attacked. There was something the other day, and I saw something, and they were discussing something. He goes, well, I'm recovering very well after my attack. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, we have video footage of the brothers in the store buying rope and hats. There's a check that they made, that you made out to them and paid them. They have testimony from these brothers saying you paid them. There's video footage of them being the only people on the street with you at the time of the attack. There's not any more clear-cut evidence than that to show that you staged the entire attack, including the entire investigation. Yet he still is playing the narrative. It's like we live in the Twilight Zone. Why? This is the narrative that they told him to play. And then you see this that I saw. This is troubling. This is real troubling. It doesn't surprise me, as we know the level of corruption in Chicago knows no bounds. But now, a 76-year-old businessman was arrested and charged with filing a false police report, same alleged crime that Jesse Smollett broke, and admitted his crime straight away. Robert Rackey pleaded guilty to filing a false police report last month after calling the cops saying he had been carjacked when in fact he had his vehicle towed for unpaid parking tickets. So they came and towed his vehicle. He said his car got carjacked because he was mad. They basically investigated it to see what was going on, and he came back and he said, listen, I got to be honest with you. I filed a false police report. You're not going to find any attackers. I was really mad about it. They basically impounded my vehicle. It was a complete and total nightmare. Well, they immediately arrested him, threw him in jail. 2 days later, he was arraigned. He basically didn't have the cash to pay bond because of a bunch of financial issues that he was running into. So it was his first offense as well. Oh, well, by the way, it was his very first offense. He pleaded guilty. Then the doggone state attorney, Kim Fox, turned around and charged him. He essentially now is basically getting charged with filing a false police report. He's having to do like 50 hours of community service. He has like a $1,000 fine he has to pay. He's on 6 months probation, and he's going to have that on his record for the rest of his life now. And he's basically a white 76-year-old man that filed a false police report and then came and admitted that he did it because he didn't want to have an investigation draw out because he said he felt guilty of it. Then on the other hand, you have Empire homosexual agenda pushing Jesse Smollett get caught for completely staging not only a false police report, but a fake hate crime. They said the investigation now has cost Chicago police, on record, $130,000 in investigation, in the entire investigation with Jesse Smollett. Yet, he did 2 days of community service, had all charges dropped, never even apologized for his actions, nor was he ever even held accountable, not to mention he tried to basically start a doggone race war in Chicago with making a false hate crime, a fake hate crime, a staged hate crime. So this shows you, again, the reason why I bring this up, because I hate talking about this clown, because he's just an absolute puppet of the deep state, but this shows you the level of corruption and how they only push the narrative they want you to see. If you're a 76-year-old white man and you basically file a false police report and you have your car, you know, essentially booted and impounded for an unpaid ticket, and you do this, you're going to jail, and you're getting probation, and you've got community service, and you're going to have a record. If you are essentially pushing the homosexual deep state agenda, and you do this and you get caught, you get all charges dropped no matter what, and you don't even have to admit anything. You can continue pushing the narrative. Why? Because it's the same thing like Dad talked about with the CIA Director Brennan when he said, we will know we've done our jobs when everything that everybody hears and believes is a lie. This is what they do. It doesn't matter it's a complete and total lie. It doesn't matter that he completely and totally made it up. It doesn't matter that he was caught making it up. They keep saying it over and over and over and over again until a large portion of the human population, the people in the United States, they believe in their psyche that no matter what the evidence shows, Smollett had a hate crime committed against him by Donald Trump supporter neo-Nazis. That is how clear-cut psychological operations get when they start getting this aggressive in a tyrannical government. False flags attacks, which is exactly what Jesse Smollett's was. I've told you guys before, the entire concept of false flags was done and started in pirate ships when they would put flags up of other countries and attack other ships, so they blamed it on another country. They can be done by different countries, they can be done by different ambassadors, they can be done by simply pirates, but false flags attacks are a very live and a well here in this country, and that's exactly what they had there with that thing, because Smollett did just set that up by itself, by the way. I mean, he's a moron. I mean, the guy got caught. Guy wrote a check. Who writes a check? You're going to commit a felony, and you write a check out to the guys that you're going to have commit the felony with you? I mean, how stupid do you get? He's an idiot. Drives a check out instead of paying him in cash. The guy's a blithering idiot. But he got caught. It doesn't matter because he was doing whoever told him to do it, and they made sure he was not going to get in trouble under any circumstances because he's a good little puppet that follows their mantra. The same thing that I talked about with the homosexual gay revolutionary agenda yesterday with Michael Swift, Jesse Smollett follows right in line with that, and they take care of their own, and you find out real quick who's involved in that agenda by who goes to jail and by who never steps foot in the courtroom and essentially is completely acquitted of all charges, even in light of all evidence pointing the other direction, Deb.
You know, Austin, it's like we have two sets of rules in this country.
Yeah.
One for these people they put in play as far as the leadership they put in front of us, that they have, that they give us no choice on who to vote for, the higher ends. And then we have the other people who have to pay the bills and who basically do the time and who go to jail. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Now, I'm going to give you guys some advice. This isn't legal advice. This is some good, advice. When people, if something happens and you get into a situation where you don't want to be somewhere and you've done something wrong, I'm not saying you're guilty of doing anything wrong, but if it's against a statute or a regulation or whatever, and a police officer pulls you, just shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. When they say to you, you know, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. They're not playing a game with you there. They're telling you that anything you say can get you put in jail. And here's this guy, did a false report, pleaded guilty just to make it go away. He thought it'd just be done. And now he's going to have to deal with all this community service and whatever. I mean, you've got to get an attorney. That's, gosh, I hate to say that to you, but it's the truth. You got to get an attorney. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's getting a doggone speeding ticket. Go hire a ticket clinic. But just get an attorney and have them represent you in the court. And keep your mouth shut. If the police officer says to you, you know, what do you think? Well, how fast were you going on this? You know, you were speeding. How fast were you going? Your response is, I'm exercising my right to remain silent. If you want to go out and watch a football game with me or whatever and get a organic pizza, I'll be more than happy to sit down and chit-chat with you, but we're not going to talk about this. And that way you're not making them mad. If you just look at them and you say, I'm not saying nothing. I'm going to just ignore you. Well, that's going to make them mad. You have to tell them that you're exercising your right to remain silent, and you know, you think they're a nice person, which they may or may not be, but you've got to be, just be cordial to them, because everybody likes to feel important. Everybody wants to be treated cordially. And they usually just don't, then they understand that you understand what's going on. But guys, if you make a mistake, just shut up. And you know, and just don't say anything, and let the attorneys hash it out in court. That way it becomes a giant boondoggle for the people who have no ability to prosecute you because you may or may not have evidence against you unless you give it to them yourself. It's so important not to do that. No legal advice here, just common sense. Just be very, very careful. If you get caught in something that you don't want to be in, doing something you don't want to do, I mean, it's like this guy Robert Kraft. You got to give him credit, the guy who owns the New England franchise for football. I mean, he gets caught with videotape with prostitutes. And the judge says, I'm going to release the videotape so you don't plead guilty, and we're going to let everybody see what you did. And he goes, yeah, I don't think so. And so he gets the attorneys in there. Now they've suppressed that evidence. Now that whole case is falling apart and unraveling. He's going to be found not guilty. He'll be dismissed. And I told you that's what would happen because he's got the legal teams working for him. Same thing with Child Family Services. You have those clowns call up and show up at your house. You just need an attorney like, you know, yesterday. You need to have somebody on retainer for that one. And if you've got kids at home, young kids, And you're following biblical guidelines on how to raise these kids. Now listen to me for a second. If you're following biblical guidelines, if you want to pat them on the butt every once in a while when they're doing something wrong or whatever, or fuss at them or whatever you need to do, you need to have an attorney on your file. You say, well, why? Because some idiot can see you in a grocery store fussing at your child in line and say, I saw so-and-so follow you out to your car, get a tag number off your car, and call the Department of Family Services. They're going to show up at your door. They're bound to they're bound by their little legal responsibility to come check you out. And it's going to be a full investigation. They're not going to come and say hello to you and have to leave. It's not going to be any of that stuff. Because the person can lie about you and that child and what you did. You can grab them by the trapezius muscles, squeeze them in public and go, hey, you need to calm down. You need to stop yelling. You need to stop acting like this. You know, no harm intended, no foul. Didn't hurt anybody. But, oh, my gosh, if somebody sees you do that, now you've assaulted that child. That's how screwed up the system is. So if you've got kids at home, you need to have an attorney on file. Just think about it for a second. I mean, what happens? The kid comes, they take the kid away. They throw it into a foster care system or into holding. Got doctors show up to do a medical exam on it, find out the kid hasn't been immunized. All of a sudden, they get 20 vaccines the same day. And you get back and you got a kid who's got a 15, 20-point drop in IQ scores. Guys, it's just that's how twisted the system is. Like what Austin said, Jesse Smollett wrote a check out to these guys to assault him, pour bleach on him, and put a rope around his neck. You know, here's the irony of this. No, this is awesome. Here's what's so stupid. They put a hangman's noose rope around his neck. So he walks down the street with this and goes into his apartment or his hotel room or whatever, still wearing the hangman's noose. I mean, if somebody put a hangman's noose around my neck, number one, I would do everything I could to get the noose off my neck, and number two, to extricate myself out of that system. But he walks around like it's a bracelet or a necklace that he's going to prance with it. I mean, unbelievable, and yet nothing happens to him. Oh, by the way, here we go with the trade wars. China's now gearing up to weaponize rare earths in trade war. About 80% of U.S. rare earth supplies come from China. This is from Bloomberg. It says Beijing is gearing up to use its dominance of rare earths to hit back in its deepening trade war with Washington. A flurry of Chinese media reports on Wednesday, including an editorial in the flagship newspaper of the Communist Party, raised the prospect of Beijing cutting exports of the commodities that are critical in defense, energy, electronics, and automobile sectors. The world's biggest producer, China, supplies about 80% of U.S. imports of rare earths, which are used in a host of applications from smartphones to electric vehicles and wind turbines. The threat to weaponize strategic materials ratchets up the tension between the world's two biggest economies before an expected meeting between Presidents Xi Jinping and Donald Trump at the G20 meeting next month. It shows how China is weighing its options after the U.S. blacklisted Huawei Technologies, cutting off the supply of American components it needs to make its smartphones and networking gear. China is the dominant producer of rare earths, has shown in the past that it can use rare earths as bargaining chips when it comes to multilateral negotiations, says George Bauck, Chief Executive Officer of the Northern Minerals LTD, which is producing rare earth carbonate from pilot-scale project in Western Australia. Guys, this trade war stuff is not what we think it's going to be. We've allowed ourselves to move our manufacturing sector offshore, and we've allowed China to come in now and control so much of our production of things that we need. This should have been done 30, 40 years ago. It should have been done really with Bill Clinton when he started giving Chinese all of our trade secrets and think about it. Bill Clinton released to the Chinese our chips for IBM missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles. He gave them the guidance chips. They couldn't even get a doggone missile off the doggone platform without it blowing up, you know, midair. They had no ability to do anything. That's what happens when you have a Chinese communist government that can't think for itself, and the people are all turned into a bunch of automatons. And so Bill Clinton gives them that. And then he releases through Toshiba and some of these other accessory organizations the silent shaft technology for our doggone nuclear submarines, so they can't be tracked. I mean, this is what Bill Clinton did, and of course, Hillary and him are doing all kinds of side deals with China, and same thing with Russia with the Iranian with Hillary. I mean, we've got career criminals, sociopaths, psychopaths running the planet, and as front people for the international banking cartels, and that's what's going on with all of these guys, and it never ever ends. By the way, after laying off 7,000 workers, what's next for Ford? Ford is moving from 14 to 9 layers of management, which is speed up product development and keep the company lean. Ford is facing an assorted challenges, including sales and share declines in the U.S. and China as in its key markets. It's been hit hard by President Donald Trump's trade wars, and this week the auto giant confirmed it is axing 7,000 white-collar jobs, with some questioning whether further cuts could follow. We still have a lot of work to do in the coming months, for Chief Executive Officer Jim Hackett said in a Sunday night email to his employees that revealed the planned cutbacks. The reduction will impact 2,300 salary workers in the U.S., including 1,500 who left voluntarily last year, Ford told NBC News. The vast majority of the losses will come in Europe and other markets where Ford is struggling. All in all, the numbers are half of the 14,000 job cuts announced by General Motors last November for North America alone, with a large share of those coming at five factories that GM plans to shutter, including two U.S. assembly lines. There are no major blue-collar cuts nor plant closures in the works, Joe Hendricks, Ford President of Automotive Operations, told NBC News last month. Guys, all of this stuff goes right back to excessive management and basically inappropriate and improper, you know, cash flow. I mean, and these guys are not setting up for the future. They hire all of these people, bring all these white-collar criminals, white-collar workers, and what they do is called the Peter Principle. As layers of management increase, so does inefficiency. And so you end up in a situation where the top people can't get information down to the bottom people because of the inefficiency of the management layers. So, you know, it's something that they needed to look at a long, long, long time ago. I remember one time we were in 10th grade. This is, gosh, it was 50 years ago. And I remember we had a lady by the name of Nancy Bush, good English teacher, but kind of a weirdo. She had us go outside on a pretty spring day, and we all sat in the, you know, had 30 people in the classroom. We sat in a circle, and she said, I want to tell you, show you what happened to the management as it distributes through a group of people as far as information. And she started off like, you know, the sky is blue today, but it's supposed to rain on Friday or something like that. Something stupid. I don't remember. And so it went through everybody. By the time I got to 30 people, it was like the cat killed the dog last week and basically ended up having some type of, you know, venereal disease. I'm some kind of stupid thing. It ended up being crazy. It wasn't even the same thing. This is the problem that these large corporations have. That's why they have so many meetings, so many memos, so many emails, and that's why they keep track of all the things that they send out in their memos and emails and have their meetings, because they've got to try to figure out how to disseminate the information from upper-level management to lower-level management. So I applaud Ford in this, in reducing mid-level management to try to make their operations more streamlined and less, how should I say, inefficient. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, a lot of the industries, and it goes back to what you were talking about earlier as well, all the way down the line with the legacy cost. You know, a lot of times in these larger companies, and I've seen this personally, you start having people, they get hired just to have extra bodies, because there may be some extra thing that has to be done on a certain day at a certain time, so they put an entire new position together to have this person, and 80 to 90% of the time, there's nothing even to be done in the job. It's pretty much a pencil pusher job. The government jobs are the worst about this. Obama was notorious for putting together all types of job positions that absolutely had zero levels of skill or efficiency. Now, I'm not saying if you have a government job, that's you. I'm not saying that at all. Please understand that. But what I'm saying is, we've seen a lot of the economy grow, including government jobs grow, which allegedly creates new jobs and creates all this growth, allegedly. But in turn, what we see is it's just people basically filling up seats that don't actually produce anything. That is what Ford's starting to see now, in my opinion, where they're realizing a lot of times you can just pass the work on to somebody else, make them become more efficient, or ask them to become more efficient, or in turn create another position to fill in and have that person take on the role of four or five other positions that aren't doing very much. So there's a lot of times you can be more efficient, and I think Ford's seeing the writing on the wall right now, Dad. They know it's about to come in the near future. They know it's going to happen. They see 2008 happening again, and I think a lot of people are starting to understand that. And again, it goes back to what we keep saying. That's why these cities like ours and here in Central Florida, they keep allowing all these houses and impact fees to raise revenue and to bring more property taxes in, because they hire more people and then they generate more jobs and then they generate more revenue. But in the long run, all they're doing is urinating money away, because you have more pensions that people get on that they go on for in perpetuity. I mean, if you start adding, you know, 10 people, well, then those 10 people, we got to add another 5 after that. And then it just goes down the line and it starts growing exponentially until you start having this massive expansion of infrastructure that the areas a lot of time can't handle it, including the roads. That's what we're having here in Central Florida, not just our town, but all of Central Florida. I mean, we're Orlando, I-4, the entire Central Florida area is gridlocked all the time now. I've been out to L.A. L.A. traffic's bad. I had somebody that I talked to the other day email me. They moved from California like 5-6 years ago, ended up moving to Tennessee, came down here on vacation, and they emailed me, and they're like, we listen to your show all the time, Austin. They said, we didn't realize what you meant when you said bad traffic. They said, we're from L.A. originally. And they said, we couldn't even believe how bad it's gotten in Florida. They said, we spent half of our vacation in traffic. Every single day was in traffic. It would be 20, 30 miles to go somewhere, and it would take us 2 hours to get there. And I said, well, yeah. I said, most of the time you got to take back roads. And I said, most of Google Maps won't take you back roads or any of the Waze or any of the other map systems, because most of them are longer mileage-wise to go on the backwood roads that go through the green swamp and stuff. They may be 5, 10, 15 miles out of the way, but when you're going to sit in traffic for 2.5 hours, it shaves off a significant period of time, and that's pretty much what we've gotten ourselves to in this position right now. Also, to another news, this is interesting. This has not gotten much publicity in China yet, but it seems to be their markets are very, very roiled right now. One of the first big wake-up calls in the Chinese bond market is the first bank failure in a very, very long time. Last Friday, it was reported at the very end of the market close, China's financial regulator and central bank made a shocking announcement. For the first time in over 30 years, China had to bail out their first bank, Mongolia-based Bongshan Bank, due to serious credit risk. And essentially, it was failing. This is 2008 2.0, guys, happening in China right now. The banks are starting to fail over there right now. They're getting too big to fail, and the central banks are coming in and buying them up. Exactly what happened in 2008 because of all the unbelievably negligent lending they did, with all the different crazy lending that we've seen from the off-book financing, all the stuff. This is what's happening in China, and again, they're going to figure out what they need to do to raise more cash through these tariffs right now. But if they start raising metal prices, we're going to see some incredibly expensive costs on everything, especially with aluminum, ore, all that stuff, because of how much metal we get from China. Just thought that's something everybody needs to understand. Also, too, in other news, Microsoft Election Guard. Essentially, it's a system that is being brought out now by the mainstream media as this incredibly good system to protect us from Russian hackers. I kid you not. Microsoft Election Guard, but is allegedly the Trojan horse for a military-industrial takeover of U.S. elections. This was written by Whitney Webb. This is a very interesting article that was brought out by the Mint Press News recently. The 2020 election has had the Election Guard idea pushed on it heavily over the last couple months now. Several glaring conflicts of interest that greatly undermine it, claim anything that protect the United States. Mint Press revealed how Election Guard was developed by companies with deep ties to the U.S. defense and intelligence communities and the Israeli military intelligence Mossad, as well as the fact that it was far from clear that the technology would actually even prevent foreign or domestic interference, but actually allow manipulation of vote totals and other aspects of the American election system. This Election Guard system that is now being essentially brought out as the latest and greatest election protection security. Mint Press published an expose just a few months ago that went viral on a news rating company known as NewsGuard, officially aiming at fighting fake news. The company's main connections to the U.S. intelligence are not secret. NewsGuard was among the first initiatives that compromised Microsoft's Defending Democracy program. This is right out of the globalist textbook with Microsoft, a program that tech giant created under the auspice of protecting America from cyber-enabled interference, such as Russian interference. Through its partnership with Microsoft, NewsGuard has installed in public libraries and universities throughout the city that are designed to block any type of cyber interference. It has since been heavily promoted by the mainstream and U.S. government-funded media outlets in preparation for the use in the 2020 general election. According to Jonathan Simon, Election Forensic Analysis, the public relations campaign is likely just a cover for more insider control over U.S. elections. The proposed solution, he said, is just more computerized and complexity, which translates to more control by experts and insiders. As to the likely identity of those insiders, the fact that Microsoft's Election Guard was developed in tandem with private military contractors whose only investors are the U.S. Department of Defense offers a troubling clue. Election Guard promises to secure elections, but instead we find that Microsoft itself is a full-blown U.S. military contractor now. Furthermore, amid the unfolding scandal of Israeli meddling in foreign elections, Microsoft's growing ties to the Israeli military intelligence Mossad and private Israeli cybersecurity firm raises even more concerns about whether Election Guard's real purpose is to secure America for candidates friendly to the establishment only. What's interesting is Election Guard will enable end-to-end verification of elections, open results to third-party organizations for secure validation, and allow individual voters to confirm their votes were counted. While Election Guard may appear to concern itself only with electronic ballots, the announcement states that the system is designed to work with systems that also use paper ballots through the use of optical scanners. Another interesting and deeply troubling admission in the Microsoft announcement is the Election Guard partnered with Portland-based cybersecurity firms Galois, which Galois just received a $10 million funding from DARPA. Imagine that. As deeply troubling as DARPA's $10 million direct investment in Election Guard may seem, it is merely scratching the surface, as Galois itself is essentially an extension of DARPA in the private cybersecurity contracting industry. Galois was brought to light in 1999. According to the Galois website, it forms the vast majority of its clientele from U.S. government agencies, including DARPA, the Department of Defense, the Department of Energy, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, the NSA, and NASA. However, the other clients of Galois include top U.S. weapon manufacturer General Dynamics. They state their focus is research and development in advanced computer science, although it dabbles in artificial intelligence, human-computer interaction, and machine learning. So this is something that's quite troubling right here that we see going on, that we now have a outside independent military contracting agency that's connected with Microsoft that's going to be instilling Election Guard that's essentially going to help protect us from election fraud. The creepy part about this is, you guys know, election systems have now been deemed essentially theaters of warfare between competing nations, and as you guys know, DARPA's main reason for existence is to create high-tech weapons for the future. We can only kind of, you know, hypothesize what's really going on here, but clearly the Pentagon's R&D lab for war should not be anywhere near America's electoral system, as it represents a huge and powerful, unaccountable force in the American political system. DARPA's had very, very clear expectations of what they've been expected to do from the Pentagon, including everything from artificial intelligence, implanting computer chips into soldiers, creating killer robots as well. So this is something that everybody needs to realize. We're now about to have the fox guarding the hen house, so to speak. The military-industrial complex, alongside the Israeli spy agency Mossad, are now in conjunction with Microsoft to put Election Guard into place to protect our election system with pretty much no oversight, by the way. Their whole entire program that they're doing is shrouded with secrecy at the back end. Shrouded with secrecy, yet they're about to be handed the keys to the most important aspect of a true constitutional republic, our ballot boxes. And that is quite troubling to me. And so I encourage everybody to do some research on this and see what we can do, because if this thing goes full-blown implementation, not only are we going to allow, and understand what it said in there, the voting results are going to be analyzed by third party, meaning who you vote for is now going to be sold as information to outside agencies. Best believe that it's not going to be kept secret anymore. When you allow these guys to get your personal intel, we already know for a fact, according to the NSA and what Snowden released, all that information is sold to the highest bidder on the market, especially with the amount of data that is out there and the amount of cash that is floating around now in the third-party contracting section. Billions upon billions of dollars a year is made in selling information to third-party contractors. So that's another aspect that's even creepier, Deb.
You know, Austin, it never ends with this information sellout that they're doing and how they're basically compromising all of our information. They want to start sending out voting records now. Again, it's to try to make sure they keep us organized into what FEMA camp we're going into, to see if we're going to be going into a rehabilitation camp or basically you're not going to be around much longer camp. I mean, it's just what it's trying to do. And it all ties back together with, you know, the computer systems are putting together with the 5G networks, with the 5G interfaces, with the D-Wave computer, with the standing at the altar of an alien god. I mean, Elon Musk is warning again that AI, this would be the tie-in between the D-Wave computer and Lucifer into a 5G grid in which controls everything. He said, create an immortal dictator from which we can never escape. I mean, he's warning us. I mean, these guys are, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big Elon Musk fan. I think he's another cutout, but he's doing that lesser magic or white magic, and he's telling us in advance what they're planning on doing. Always remember, they got to tell you what they're planning on doing for some weird cosmic reason as far as some kind of a, they believe, karma on the other side of the veil. But Tesla and the SpaceX CEO Elon Musk now said that the artificial intelligence doesn't have to be evil to destroy humanity. Okay, whatever. In a new documentary, Do You Trust This Computer?, Musk warned the creation of a superintelligence could lead to an immortal dictator. Musk believes that a human should merge with AI to avoid the risk of becoming irrelevant. You hear that? I'm going to repeat that. Musk believes that a human should merge with AI to avoid the risk of becoming irrelevant. Now he's telling you that you need to be chipped. You need to have a brain interface with AI so you're not going to become irrelevant. He's telling you what they want you to think is true. He says, I personally believe that we're going to lessen ourselves because we will no longer be created in God's image if we do this. I believe this is the mark of the beast, taking on this AI chip. Superintelligence, a form of artificial intelligence, i.e. AI smarter than humans, could create an immortal dictator, he again warns. In a documentary by American filmmaker Chris Payne, Musk said that the development of superintelligence by a company or other organization of people could result in a form of AI that governs the world, as it was in the days of Noah, where every thought was evil all of the time. The least scary future I can think of is when we have at least a democratized AI because of one company or small group of people managed to develop a godlike digital superintelligence and they could take over the world. So he's sitting there warning us. Remember, if we have a democratic AI, think about this for a second. You know, a democracy is not a republic. You guys, the United States wasn't founded as a democracy. It was founded as a republic, as a constitutional republic. In other words, we have rights. In a democracy, it's basically mob rule. If 51% of the people think that they need to hang you in a group, they take a vote, they're going to hang you. The other 49% will say, well, we don't think you need to be hung. It doesn't make any difference. 51% says we're going to hang you, we're going to hang you. That's what democracy is all about. That's why democracies don't work, because it becomes mob rule. It becomes, if 51% say we're going to tax the other 49% to the point where they can no longer pay their own bills because we want their stuff, they just do it. We see that in Congress all the time. See, and this is the kind of stuff that we talk about on our show that a lot of people don't want to talk about. In fact, it was interesting. Yesterday, I got an email in from one of our listeners named Lars, and he said he'd been listening to the show. I'm going to paraphrase his letter. It's long and it's very detailed. It's excellent, by the way. He goes, I've been listening to you in Austin for about a year or so, and I've been around for a while from the days of Shelton Emery. He's the guy who wrote Billions for the Bankers and Debts for the People. By the way, it's an excellent book. You can get it for free online. And he goes, there were infiltrators even way back then. That said, you and Austin are the only big names that aren't reading a pre-approved script along with a handful of other names. I know how much more you know than what you say. And I also know these false prophets, okay, these other people that are on the air saying things, are not as stupid as the proletariat they influence into their abject, lucid worldviews that are diametrically opposed to any logic. Then he goes on to say, I can tell the snakes through the Holy Spirit most of the time, although some of them use witchcraft for spiritual cloaking. Your show is the talk of the watchers at the highest levels of the USA and on Earth. I want to thank you for that, bud. You know, and I'm going to say something here to all of our listeners today. We don't do a script. We don't do that. And we've come under a lot of criticism from other talk show hosts because we don't use a script. Because we don't go in and say what they want us to say. I'm not going to do that on the show. That's why we have millions of listeners now, because we don't do that. We tell you how we see the world and how the world works. Now, if you don't agree with us on that, that's okay too. If we agree with 80%, we get a B. If we get to agree with 90%, we get an A. If we agree with 70%, we're still listenable because we still have a passing average with you. I'm not going to agree with everybody all the time on everything that we say, but what I am going to say this to you, and I'm going to say this very, very clearly and very succinctly, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to be led by the Holy Spirit and tell you guys the truth as I see it. Because, guys, we're not getting that in alternative media in many, many cases. We're hearing too much stuff that cannot be confirmed, the stuff that's been marginalized that's really, really important. I mean, when I talk to you about the third temple and the coming of the Antichrist and the scripture out of Thessalonians where the Antichrist declares himself God in the temple, nobody else talks about that. Or if they do, they say it once or twice and they hush up about it. Because it's like, oh, well, this is something that we don't want to talk about because this is going to get people angry. Or with Austin yesterday, you talk about a politically incorrect show. I mean, are you kidding me? Reading that doggone, that essay from the 70s or the 80s in which they talk about the homosexual agenda. You know, I talked to Austin about this yesterday off the air, and I've talked to several other people that are Hollywood insiders. And I'm going to say this very, very clearly, because I'm not saying it happens every single time, but I'm saying it happens a lot. When people get really big in Hollywood, most of the time, they've got dues they got to pay. And what do you mean by that? I mean, they're going to have to do some things they don't want to do with people they don't want to do it with. And I'm going to leave it like that because I'm going to try to keep this a G-rated show. In other words, they're going to be compromised from a sodomy kind of standpoint. There, I said it anyhow. And see, and this is the problem that we're seeing in Hollywood. I have another one of our listeners. He's also an attorney, real estate developer, owns a bunch of properties, great guy. Yeah, he's visited us here in North Carolina. And he told me, he said that he felt a lot of the people that really get the nod in Hollywood who get big are transgenders. You think, what do you mean they're transgender? He said he thinks a lot of the people that we see today as Hollywood stars are a different sex than they were born, or pretending to be a different sex than they are. And I told him, I said, you don't really think that they're all, and he's, well, no, they're not all like that, but a lot of them are. And he says, because they want to promote that agenda like Austin was talking about yesterday. Guys, think about it for a second. The last president, the gay Kenyan, who was an open homosexual through high school, open homosexual in Chicago with the bathhouses, his homosexual lover was killed right before he basically went into office, who Joan Rivers said was married to a transgender, a tranny, and then she died right after she said that. If they can put a person in the White House who's open, militant, homosexual, who's married to a transgender, according to Joan Rivers, what can't they do? What can't they do? Where can't they go? I mean, think about that for a second. Again, we're some of the only groups that talk about this stuff. Why? Because I'm trying to paint a picture for you guys out here. And when I first went on with Doug Hagman years ago, oh gosh, it's been 5-6 years ago. You know, I told Doug, I said, you know, you're taking a little bit too strong of a stance against the gays. I said, a lot of these guys are just basically, they're dealing with stuff. They don't want to be gay, or they've been given a lot of hormones by accident because of the food supply and when they were in their babies. And I tried to be really, really buffered about that. But guys, the more I look into this agenda from this left, this homosexual sodomy agenda, these guys are not playing for fun here. They're playing for blood. These guys want to run the planet. And you see that yesterday with the essay that Austin read. And it's so important that we understand that there are people out there that are fighting the homosexual lifestyle. They don't want to be in it. It's another sin to them, and they're trying to walk their walk and be where they need to be and serve God and love Jesus and have a family and have children and have kids and have a wife and have a right lifestyle. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the hardcore leftist communist gay guys who are adamant and are willing to get into a fight, shoot you, kill you, do whatever they need to silence you, because they want their agenda pushed as hard as they can possibly push it. We see major problems in the military. Kay Griggs talked about, and you can watch her video online. It's about 8 hours long. Pick a time, watch part of it, watch more of it. She was a colonel's wife in the United States Air Force, and she talked about how a lot of these young recruits, when they went into the Air Force, if they wanted to go up in ranks, were regularly sodomized. And so we have to understand that this entire group of people out there are real. They're real. And they're doing things that they want to do to promote an agenda that they want to promote because they want to completely and totally take us back to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, let me tell you about Sodom and Gomorrah and about how God really feels about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's right. Sodom and Gomorrah is not here anymore, is it? It's gone. Well, that kind of tells you how God really talks about it, how he really feels about it. Times of Israel this week came up and they said, Jerusalem chief rabbi urges the mayor not to put up an LGBT flag that marred the city. But the municipality says it will hang banners all over Jerusalem and Tel Aviv ahead of next week's Pride parade. Committee blocks the budget for the LGBT rights group, sending matter to the city council. Jerusalem's chief rabbi on Monday sent a formal letter to Mayor Moshe Lyon asking to prevent LGBT flags from being put up ahead of the annual Pride parade because they mar the city. He goes, unfortunately, I have to address this painful topic of the parade about to be held next week. Rabbi Stern wrote in a letter, which was leaked to the press, I know that by law the mayor doesn't have the authority to prevent the parade, and therefore I ask you to at least give an order not to hang flags which mar the city. In previous years, ultra-Orthodox religious council members were angered by the gay pride flags put up next to the Jerusalem Great Synagogue on King Street in George, along with the parade, pride passes. I tell you guys that they have gay parades in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv on a regular basis. I'm not making this up. When I tell you that there are all kinds of people that are being sodomized routinely, basically have horrible things done to them because of this agenda, I'm not making it up. When I tell you a large amount of people who are involved in police enforcement and also in Hollywood and in the media are involved in this, I'm not making it up. And many of them now have come openly the fact that they're gay. So you have to ask yourself a question, how gay are they? Do they have dozens or hundreds of partners every year like a lot of these guys do? I don't know. But how much of perversion do we want in our government? Here's another article from the Free Thought Project. Over a dozen children come forward exposing the network of pedophile cops abusing them for years. Inside information into the year-long child abuse saga. You know, basically the city commission from U.S. Attorney. Hang on a second here. My iPad went dead. Inside information to the year-long abuse saga involving Louisville, Kentucky Metropolitan Police Department officers is now being revealed. The city commissioned former U.S. Attorney Carrie Harvey to investigate the Louisville Explorers program for children to determine if sexual misconduct, abuse, and even rape were widespread with police officers involved in the program. I mean, this is rampant. It is everywhere. And listen to yesterday's show again and realize that these guys are adamant, they're militant, they're not going away, and that they're going to do everything they possibly can to bring us into another Sodom and Gomorrah. And like I said, God doesn't like Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, Chuck Baldwin, one of his latest articles, I love Chuck Baldwin. I know you got a lot of guys don't like him. I think he's a great guy. He lives in Montana. He's a gun toter. He's a patriot. I mean, I like Chuck Baldwin, and I will defend him to the end. I don't agree with everything he says, but I like him. But he even said that our country is now coming under judgment because of this militant homosexual agenda, and because of all the things that we've allowed. Donald Trump is super pro-gay, super pro-marriage between man and man. I mean, he's pro-choice. He was pro-choice his whole life. Now he's saying he's only pro-choice in the event of rape or incest or your mother's life being in danger. I mean, what is he? I mean, what does he believe? I mean, he vacillates. I mean, for years and years, he was a hardcore pro-choice Democrat and then became a Republican. I mean, what the heck are we got? We got his daughter and his son-in-law in the White House who are hardcore socialist communist Democrats who go to a Shabbat synagogue who practice Kabbalah. How much worse can it get than that? Guys, open your eyes and realize that we should be led by the Holy Spirit. And if people aren't telling you what I'm telling you, at least some level of what I'm telling you, and they're trying to hide behind the mainstream news and the obfuscation of all the little weird stuff they do all of the time, you probably need to be listening to another broadcast. Because, guys, we only have so much time during the day to cover all of this material, and we're doing the best we can not to obfuscate and just tell you the truth of what's happening. So I love you guys, and I appreciate you. You guys are absolutely awesome. I have the privilege of praying for you again this morning. You guys are just awesome. And, I've got some of my great friends, Matthew and Mark and Terrence and all these guys who listen all the time, and Brad. And the list goes on and on and on. I hate mentioning names because then everybody says, you didn't mention my name. Well, I mentioned all the people that call me and text me on a regular basis and email me, you know, Gene. I mean, all of you guys, thank you, because your input is so important to me. Karen, thank you. Because if it wasn't for you guys supporting Health Masters and supporting the show and sending me information to put out on the show, like Karen has helped me so much with what's going on with this Kabbalah agenda, it's so important that we realize, guys, this battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these principalities in these dark places that go bump in the night. All of these weird things that we used to think were all just, you know, make me believe science fiction, fairy tale, Hollywood nonsense. This stuff is real. There are interdimensional entities out there that have been controlling this planet for eons of time, and we need to understand who and what they are and who they serve. I love you guys. Austin, go ahead and finish up the show, and I'll do the write-up. You guys are absolutely awesome. Again, thank you for your support.
Thank you guys for the continued support. If I can keep my headset working here, we'll be even better. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com. And also be sure to use the Freedom 5 coupon. This is the last day that it will be active, the Freedom 5 Memorial Day sale, Freedom 5. And also, too, the Ultimate Multiple, which won Product of the Week on sale today for the next week for 10% off, actually over 10% off, on sale right now on the website. So you guys voted. It won. Be sure to check it out. Also, too, one other health article that I wanted to bring up here. A new study was published in the Journal of Disease, Obesity, and Metabolism outlined a new finding on vitamin C. Australian researchers divided participants into two groups. One was given 2 5,000-milligram doses of vitamin C each day, so basically a gram of vitamin C a day. The other group did not take any, but placebo. Both groups were fed standardized meals, and continuous glucose monitoring was used across a period of 4 months to assess the outcome. They discovered the people who took the vitamin C every day enjoyed a very significant drop, on average 36% in blood sugar spikes following the meal. Moreover, those who took vitamin C noted lower blood pressure. The researchers identified the antioxidant properties of vitamin C as being responsible for counteracting the high free radical levels in diabetics and other benefit reports. Now, of course, you also want to have an effective, healthy diet alongside of that. But again, in this research study, they didn't even change the diet. They just added in a gram of vitamin C a day. Again, adding to why I always tell people vitamin C is so important. And our buffered vitamin C that we have in capsules, you can take a good amount of that every single day, usually on upwards of, I would say, about 8 to 10,000 maximum as far as meeting bowel tolerance. So if you're getting sick or you're getting run down, four capsules multiple times a day is the protocol that I personally run. And so that's definitely always a good option. So be sure to check that out on the website. Ultimate Multiple on sale for Product of the Week right now. Healthmasters.com. Lots of different sales and specials. We also have the CBD magnesium CBD oil and the CBD magnesium body balm on the website right now. And be sure to vote for the other products that are up right now for Product of the Week. We got a fresh new batch of products that are up and ready to vote for on the website at Health Masters. So be sure to check that out, including, I think, the actual, let me see if we add it. Yeah, the CBD organic hemp oil, our CBD oil that's been so popular, everybody's loving, is on the website on Product of the Week to be voted for. So if that product gets enough votes and wins, it'll actually go on sale next week. So be sure to check that out and vote for it. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for your support. Let us know if you need anything at all. Healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.